Let's get into it. Genesis 5:24. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. One way think that Enoch had all the time in the world. He didn't have Facebook. He didn't have WhatsApp. He didn't have to wear sari. But he had his own worries. Every generation has their own worries. Every season has its own worries. Every day has its own worries. He could have worried about the worries. But he set out those worries at God's feet and chose to walk with God. What is walking with God? Walking with God, according to Matthew Henry commentary, is continuous fellowship. The word walking with means proximity. So there is a continuous fellowship with God in faith and in obedience. Taking every step in agreement with God. Amos 3:3 says, two people cannot walk together unless they agree. So there should be an agreement for walking with God. Enoch's walk with God was so amazing. Enoch's walk with God was so amazing that God took him away. Hebrews 11:5 says, God, he didn't see death. How much more amazing should be our walk with God as we are under the new covenant? But are we walking with God? Those who are looking for a title for this message, the title of the message is, Are You Walking with God? Let's pray. Jesus, help me to speak whatever you want me to speak. Only your words come out of my mouth. Let the words minister to all of us. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Let's look at Paul's walk. Philippians 3:8-10. Please turn your Bible to Philippians 3:8-10. So the entire message is from these verses. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. We can see three key aspects of walking with God, or say the Christian walk. One is gaining Christ. Second is knowing Christ. And third is suffering for Christ. Paul says, I may gain Christ. So it's gaining Christ. Paul says, I want to know Christ. That is knowing Christ. Paul says, I want to participate in his sufferings. That is suffering for Christ. We are to gain Christ, know Christ, and suffer for Christ as we walk with God. For my first point is gaining Christ. Let's look at Philippians 3:8-9 again. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Paul lost certain things so that he could gain Christ and be found in him. So before looking at what he lost, let's see what does he mean by gaining Christ. What is gaining? Gaining, if you see in Greek, it means profit in exchange of something ordinary for something better. I'll say that again. Profit in exchange of something ordinary for something better. I will illustrate it. On my father's 70th birthday, I gifted my father one smartwatch. It had all the features like health monitoring, fitness monitoring, sleep monitoring. But my father chose to wear the conventional watch. He couldn't gain from the smartwatch which I gave. because for some reason he is not, he's a gadget freak, but for some reason he didn't choose to wear the smartwatch. So that is the meaning of gain here. Okay, be found in him means become one with him. That is, be united with him. That is, abiding in him. So let's see, what did Paul lose to gain Christ? Philippians 3, 4 to 6. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Paul used to put his confidence on these things of flesh. He considered, but when he came into Christ, he considered them garbage and lost them to gain Christ. For Jews during Paul's time who were into law, this circumcision, being part of Israel, being part of the nation Israel, they thought, yeah, that's enough. That's how you are part of God's team. That's how you be in God. And he thought he followed all the requirements of the law, all the laws, which is written in the Bible. He thought he is following everything. So he deserved to be in heaven. That's what they think. But when he knew Christ, a better, best, when he knew Christ, he knew this is garbage. He threw them for gaining Christ. So what did he put his confidence in? He used to put confidence in the things of flesh earlier. But what did he put his confidence in? Let's see Philippians 3, 8 and 9 again. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. He put his confidence in the righteousness which comes from God, the free gift of righteousness. No works. This we receive through faith, faith in Christ. So, where do you put your confidence in? In your roots, in your religious background, in your denomination? When people come to me and ask me, what is your religious background? I get so proud, like I just, like height increases. Okay, so I say it's Syrian Orthodox. From Syria, from Antioch in Bible. But when I knew Christ, I know this is garbage. But still, there are many in my family who think that because they are from Syrian Orthodox, they are going to heaven. No, it's only Jesus who can take us to heaven. We know that. Or do you put your confidence in your righteous acts? When you're saved, you know you are saved by grace through faith. But as you proceed in Christianity, you start doing good, and you feel because of your good work, you're blessed. Okay, you are part of Jesus' team because you did good works. Okay, you will be blessed forever and nothing will happen to you because of your good works. The day you think you deserve something, you are trapped, you are deceived. You are into self-righteousness. The day when you do a bad deed, on a bad day, you enter into condemnation. You are miserable than before. Isaiah 64:6 says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. All our righteous acts are filthy rags, garbage. So, doing good, is that wrong? No. Putting confidence in your good works, that is wrong. Now, let's see Romans 4:5. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. So, the faith we put in, the faith transfers, tries trans, righteousness into our account. If you have a bank account for righteousness, it is not nil. It's deposited with Christ's complete righteousness is in our account. Praise God. Gaining happens when you put your trust in God and in grace, it's not on works. Okay. So put your confidence in God and his righteousness through faith in Christ. So that's my first point, gaining Christ. And my second point is knowing Christ. Philippians 3:10 says, I want to know Christ. This is Paul saying, I want to know Christ. What is knowing Christ? In Greek, the word know means knowledge through experience, the experiential knowledge, not the head knowledge. Okay, if Shoma is sitting with her head down, okay, and she is rolling, making circles on the floor with her feet, I know the floodgates are going to open. She is going to cry. This thing, I know this, I gain through my experiential knowledge. This is through the experience. Sorry. So we all have the head knowledge that Jesus is Prince of Peace. But when we experience the peace which comes from Jesus, then we know, we have the experiential knowledge that Jesus is Prince of Peace. We all have the head knowledge that God is love. But when we experience his love, we have the experiential knowledge that God is love. Jesus came on earth to give us an everlasting life. John 3:16. But what is this everlasting life? Is it living forever? Even the non-believers will live forever in hell suffering. Cannot call it living, it's dying. Or is it to live forever in heaven? Let's see what the Bible says. John 17:3. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So everlasting life is knowing Jesus, having the experiential knowledge of Jesus through experience, having an through intimate relationship that begins right now in this world. It's not a future event. We have to start it here in this earth itself. Let's see. Before that, I would like to share one incident which happened to me. While I was driving one day, God spoke to me. He asked me, where are you going? Where do you want to go? Heaven or hell? So I was shocked. This is kind of awkward question. This is so easy. So am I going to hell? So I was a bit worried. Then I thought, of course, heaven. He said, what if I'm not in heaven? I'm not trying to teach you a new theology, okay? So this is an illustration. So I got the point. The purpose of going to heaven is to going to Lord. It's not to get into a better place. Okay? Philippians 1:23 says, this is Paul speaking, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. He doesn't say, I desire to depart and be in heaven. He says, be with Christ. That is his destination. Heaven is just not a better place. Heaven is the best place because that is where our Lord is. So how to develop intimate relationship with Jesus? Paul wanted to go to the Lord because he had a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus. He knew Jesus and he wanted to be with him. He was so much in love. Intimate relationship, we need time. We have to invest time. During our first anniversary, I thought I knew Shoma. I thought, oh, now I know her. But this is it's going to be our 10th anniversary on 31st Jan. So now I know, I think I know Shoma. But Nawaz would be telling that, no, let 30 years go, then you will know Shoma. So Andrew and Lasia, You don't know each other yet. So you have to invest time. You have to invest alone time, quality time with God to know Him. How? Worship and conversation. A relationship is not built on one-way communication. There should be a two-way communication. You must hear from God. And some of you might say, I don't have the ability to hear from God. So I'll say John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. The question is not whether you can hear his voice. The question is whether you are his sheep. If you are his sheep, you can hear his voice. So my first point is gaining Christ. And my second point is knowing Christ. Now, we come to the third point, which is not that pleasant. It's suffering for Christ. Philippians 3:10 says, participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. We participate in his sufferings by suffering for Christ. Philippians 1:29 says, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. This word granted here means a favor. It's a favor from God that we are to suffer for him. This is information for me. This is shocking. That it's a favor from God that we suffer for him. We participate in his sufferings through persecutions and through sacrificial living. Let's look at persecutions. How many want to live a godly life in Christ? Oh, good. There's a shocking news for you. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, in fact, some of you who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus may be persecuted. Oops. Oh, I got it wrong. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Okay. It doesn't say who lives a godly life. It says who wants to live a godly life. You may not have to face the drastic, the brutal persecutions which Paul faced, but you may have to face mocking, humiliation, rejection from your own family for Christ. But I would like to we don't go into the street asking for persecutions. Persecutions will come and it has to come. But there is a willful entering into his sufferings. That is through sacrificial living. So let's look at that. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. It says, in view of God's mercy. It's not to gain God's mercy. It's as a response to God's mercy. As a recipient of God's mercy, we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. So what should you do? Submit your will. Not my will, your will, Father. Be a servant. Serve. Start it small. Join a serving team. That is how you can be a living sacrifice. And as you start serving, God will guide you through what you need to do. If you are all already part of a serving team, great. Continue doing it. And ask God how he can use you more. Now, why would you participate in his sufferings? Of course, like Colin shared, there is a reward. There is a shaping up. As we participate in his sufferings, we will be shaped. But the prime reason for taking part in his sufferings should be the love and passion for Christ. Let your love and passion for Christ, which arise from gaining Christ and knowing Christ, motivate you to take part in his sufferings. I'll repeat that again. Let the extreme love and passion for Christ, which arise from gaining Christ and knowing Christ, motivate you to take part in his sufferings. So I'll come back to the question which I asked at the beginning. Are you walking with God? If you are gaining Christ through faith, if you are knowing Christ through fellowship, if you are suffering for him by submitting your will, yes, you are walking with God. As I said, walking with God is fellowship, continuous fellowship, intimate relationship, faith, obedience, in agreement with God. So if you are gaining Christ, if you are knowing Christ, if you are suffering for Christ, yes, you are walking with God. But if you are not walking with God, then you are in a sleep. You are in a spiritual sleep. You are not spiritually awakened. What do I mean? Some of us have never walked with God. So that means you are sleeping. You don't know what is walking with God. Some of us walk with God for some time, then we got distracted and we are sleeping now. Some of us think that we have gained Christ, we know Christ, we have suffered for Christ, we have achieved it. Even Paul says he has not achieved. You are in deception. You are in a deep sleep and you're dreaming. This message is not to condemn you. This message is to wake you up. So if you are sleeping, I would ask you to pick up your mat and start walking with God. Closing. So we are to gain Christ, know Christ, and suffer for Christ.
Amen. Wonderful. Thank you, Manish, for that wonderful, wonderful word. Amen. Let's stand together. Come. Let's just close our eyes, lift our hands to the Lord. You know, when God's word is preached, it's accompanied with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there. And let the Holy Spirit examine our hearts this morning. It says the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Let's bring up our thoughts, our attitudes before the Lord this morning in the light of God's word. And say, Lord, is there any adjustment I need to make in my life, in my walk? Let's think about Christ suffering on the cross for our sake. The extreme suffering he endured to purchase you for his kingdom. Are you willing to suffer for him? To sacrificially serve him? Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Lord. Alamala Kandara. Thank you, Jesus. If you feel that you need God to strengthen you in this area, would you like to just put your hand up to the Lord? We'll pray for you. As a sign of saying, yes, Lord, I want to walk with you. I need your grace to know you better, to understand what I have gained, and to endure suffering through persecution and through sacrificial serving. Just put your hand right up. I'm going to pray for you. Amen. Father, I just pray for each one whose hands are raised, Lord. Lord Jesus, you don't come to condemn us. You come to build us up and make us more like you. Lord, would you, through your Spirit, open our eyes and our minds that we would see the greatness of your suffering, Lord. How you were crushed to purchase us for eternity, Lord. Your great love for us. Lord, I pray that we would pursue knowing you, Lord, through intimate times with you, alone times with you, in your presence, Lord, through your word. Oh, Lord, I pray that we would live sacrificial lives, Lord, enduring the scorn of the world and joyfully sacrificing time and treasures and talents and offering them up as a fragrant offering to you, Lord. Would you do that by your Spirit, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We sit down a minute just to...